As I record this, I kid you not, I think there is a nest of baby hawks outside my office window chirping their little heads off, and it's the most wonderful sound. So I decided to include it in this podcast so that you can hear their beautiful little chirps in the background. The history of math is our intellectual foundation to understanding science. Science. Beautiful, awesome, wonderful science. It's the creative foundation to our ineffable future. Hi, I'm Gabrielle Burchak, and this is my podcast, Math, Science, History. In the year 415, the infamous philosopher and mathematician Hypatia of Alexandria, Egypt, was savagely murdered by church monks. This murder shocked the Roman community and its government leaders. Hypatia was known far and wide as a respected philosopher, mathematician, government advisor, and a professor. Hypatia, The Sum of Her Life, is a book that I wrote that looks not just at the circumstances surrounding her death, but also at the sum of her entire life. I weave in the details of her education, disciples, Neoplatonic philosophies, female contemporaries, and the many mathematics that she wrote and taught about. There is truly more to Hypatia's life than her death. Hypatia, The Sum of Her Life, written by me, Gabrielle Burchak, is now on sale on Amazon. Buy your copy today. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, April 22nd, happy Earth Day. This day is really special to all of us because we're coming together to celebrate this gorgeous blue ball that we live on. The Earth is our gift, and on some level, we are just visitors. It's really inspiring to see so many people genuinely care and make tremendous efforts to take care of this planet. And for all of you who make daily strides to do so, thank you. You motivate and inspire us to love our Mother Earth. And this motivation is key. It only takes one person to motivate people all around the world to take care of this planet. And that's all it took in 1962 when Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring, hit the bookstands. Silent Spring documented the hostile environment effects caused by pesticides. Rachel Carson was an American marine biologist, conservationist, and author. Her first three books, titled Under the Sea Wind, The Sea Around Us, and The Edge of the Sea, are eloquent and beautiful books that immerse us in the beauty of our oceans, what they contain, and how they sustain our planet. The Sea Around Us was turned into a documentary for which Carson won an Academy Award. But her fourth and final book before her passing, Silent Spring, changed the way we looked at our planet even more so, and it changed the way we love our planet. For many years prior to the publishing of the book, she had been studying and researching environmental conservation, specifically the damages that were being done to our planet by synthetic pesticides. During the 50s and the 60s, many farmers used pesticides, specifically dichlorodiphenyl trichlorethane, which is DDT. They used that in their crops, and they also used its breakdown product, DDE. These two products contribute to cancer, miscarriages, low birth weight, male infertility, and damage to the nervous system and the liver. So Silent Spring addressed the dangers that DDT posed. Carson argued that as DDT becomes steeped in our food chain, the concentration becomes heavier and thereby has the capacity to do significant damage to the human body. Unfortunately, chemical companies fought back with fierce opposition against the book. Regardless, the book sold over 500,000 copies in 24 countries and had a very influential effect. Meanwhile, as cars started to evolve from the early 20th century, manufacturers were challenged with providing a fuel to the vehicle that wouldn't cause knock. Knock happens when fuel is prematurely ignited into the engine cylinder, and this ends up degrading the engine. In 1921, engineers with General Motors discovered that ethyl lead prevented engine knock. What was useful about lead for them was that, unlike benzene and ethanol, lead had a lower production cost, so they started to create leaded gasoline. The early warning signs about leaded gasoline began in 1924 when 15 refinery workers died of lead poisoning. As a result, the Surgeon General halted the production of leaded gasoline while a panel investigated the dangers of lead and gas. This panel found that long exposure to lead can result in, quote, chronic degenerative diseases of less obvious character, unquote. That's what they found. Well, unfortunately, the Surgeon General ignored the warnings and set a standard of lead content to be used in our gasoline. In the 1960s, a health research study found that children exposed to these low levels of lead contributed to anemia, behavioral disorders, low IQ, learning disabilities, and even nerve damage. Even so, the use of leaded gasoline continued until 1996. But back to the 60s. In 1969, Senator Gaylord Nelson, a junior senator from Wisconsin, inspired by Carson's book and the anti-war protests, wanted to create an educational platform for college students to learn about air and water pollution. So he reached out to Republican Congressman Pete McCloskey to serve as his co-chair. And then they contacted activist Dennis Hayes. Together, they created what they called teach-ins on campuses to teach public consciousness environmental awareness. The day they would implement this would be April 22nd, 1970, exactly 50 years ago. Today, if you're listening to this on April 22nd, they created events on college campuses all across America. Then they added on other outlets, including churches and organizations, to get involved with this new day that they called Earth Day. Eventually, Americans from the East Coast to the West Coast, at the time about 10% of the population of America, began to take to the streets on their bicycles. They went into parks and auditoriums, and they were educated and they educated about the importance of rebuilding the planet from the impacts that 150 years of industrial development had on our planet. What's truly inspiring about Earth Day 1970 is that it brought together support from Republicans and Democrats, farmers, urban dwellers, businesses, and political leaders. And it all started with Carson's book. Within the first year of that first Earth Day, environmental laws were implemented, including the National Environmental Education Act, the Occupational Safety and Health Act, and the Clean Air Act. Shortly thereafter, Congress passed the Clean Water Act. By 1990, Earth Day had gone global. 200 million people in 141 countries gathered to march, protest, protect, and clean up our planet. By the year 2000, a record 5,000 environmental groups in 184 countries were involved with pushing our local governments for clean energy. Regardless, climate deniers continue to disregard the warnings that scientists have been declaring for decades. And sadly, many of these climate deniers are simply sheep to the propaganda that is pushed by oil and gas giants. The assets of the oligarchs don't need to be protected. Every year, BP, Shell, ExxonMobil, Chevron, Total, and other large oil companies spend about $200 million on lobbying to defer and block climate-motivated policies. And there's no justification for their actions. They may push their propaganda that says that they are climate experts, and they may say that they are reducing greenhouse gases in addressing climate change, but really, they're not. They continue to push their agenda to protect their assets in oil and gas. And truth be told, to use a pun, their assets are dinosaurs. At some point, oil and gas is going to dwindle and be worthless, and at some point, there will be monetary value in renewable energy. I can't wait for that day. I could conclude this podcast with an eloquent speech about how we need to save our planet. But honestly, there are no eloquent words that can impress the importance of saving this one single planet that we all live on. The math is there. The studies are there. The analyses are there. Science has, time and time again, evaluated and concluded with peer-reviewed studies that our activity on this planet is destroying it. The chlorofluorocarbons in the air, the leaded gasoline, the pesticides that are killing our bees and causing cancer, the increased concentrations of greenhouse gases, the burning of fossil fuels, deforestation, pollution, the plastics in our ocean, livestock production, factory farming, extensive use of electricity, the depletion of natural marine stocks, and the ignorance. It all contributes to the destruction of our planet. And as educated individuals, all we can do is repeat these warnings and these words over and over and over again, hoping that we can make an impact on those who really try hard not to listen. Our planet is dying. In 2014, a study found that current extinction rates were 1,000 times higher than they would be if humans weren't around. As of last year, it was estimated that more than 26,500 animal species are threatened with extinction. There's a really good website that lists these endangered species called IUCNRedList.org if you're interested. The list is extensive. More than 27% of all species on the planet are threatened with extinction, 33% of our coral reefs are threatened, and in 100 years we will lose over 67% of our endangered species. And as of this year, even humans are suffering from the retribution of nature as we continue to destroy this planet through mass consumption of meats, and this includes eating endangered animals. The Earth has had its mass extinctions in the past. However, the climate change we are currently experiencing is up to 50 times faster than the most rapid climate changes that we've ever had in our Earth's history. We are now experiencing global wildfires. Within the last 30 years, hurricanes with categories 4 and 5 have increased significantly around the world. The combined rate of ice loss for Greenland and Antarctica was running at about 81 billion tons per year in the 1990s. By the 2010s, it has climbed to 475 billion tons per year. But we don't have to live this way. What's wonderful about the human species is that we have the ability to change our environment, and we really do. We can act upon our choices and take actions for the betterment of ourselves, our families, the community, and the world. Taking care of the planet is a choice. It's really a simple choice, and there's really nothing to lose. There are so many things you can do to help, but I first just want to suggest this. Go outside. Open your eyes and look at the sky. Listen carefully to the birds. Breathe the outside air. Just take a deep breath and enjoy that one wonderful, peaceful moment. That's the planet giving back to you. So my question to you is, when do you plan to give back to the planet? I'm Gabrielle Burchak. This podcast has been brought to you by Caffeine, delicious, wonderful nectar of the gods, caffeine. Coffee, tea, coffee candy, you name it, I love it. Thank you for listening to Math Science History. If you like what you are listening to, please remember to subscribe and leave a review. I would really appreciate that. If you are interested in reading more about the history of math and science, please come visit me at mathsciencehistory.com. And while you are there, if you like what you're listening to, please feel free to click on that coffee button and buy me a cup of coffee. Until next week, carpe diem!